Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by Witchschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Hello, everyone. This is Samira Luna, and I think Ravenfire just joined me.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. So this is the Tree of Life Hour, brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about the pagan community, things we think the pagan community should be talking about or know. So tonight is our post Puff Chasing Squirrels episode. So, but Ravenfire is back. She's been gone for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm back for a week before I have to be gone for another extended period of time because, well, you know, I have to make money.
Right. Well, I will say that next week's show is going to be an interesting Wheel of the Year class that I recorded at PUFF. I was not able to get to the VIP session before it started this year because as soon as it was starting, a huge storm came through and tried to blow our awnings away. So we had to hold it down for a second. After that, it was fine. There wasn't really, it rained a few times, but no big storms or anything. But, so I had to hold the awning down during the VIP session. So I was literally getting ready to walk out of our awning, out of our booth to go do the session when the storm hit to go record it. So I didn't get it, but I did get a very interesting Wheel of the Year class that discusses adapting the Wheel of the Year to your temperate climate.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it was pretty neat.
So how was PUFF? What were people talking about? What was going on?
It was wonderful. There was quite a few new people this year and if you go on to the Pagan Unity Festival Facebook group, they're all talking about how they're going to be back next year. It was a lot of fun. I did not get to attend any of the VIP's classes, unfortunately. It just got so hectic. I wish I would have, but I didn't. Bad. I'm a bad pagan. Bad radio show host. But also went as a vendor, so that's why. Let's see. The weather, like I said, they called for storms all weekend, but we got like one on Thursday for a little bit, and then the rest, it just kind of rained a few times, and most of the time it was sunny or just overcast. So it was warm, but it was wonderful. The Traveling Fates played, I think, two of the three nights with S.J. Tucker and Ginger Doss, and I can't remember the third lady's name. Ooh, sorry. They were great. A lot of fun.
That must have been weird not having to walk a day of there.
It was weird, but I saw on Facebook they were in New York playing at the Montauk Music Festival. So congratulations to Wathadea.
I know.
So, but it's also neat
awesome.
You know, listen to something else, you know, because it's always neat to listen to new music. Because if it hadn't been for PUFF, I wouldn't even know who Wathadea was.
Right. No, absolutely.
So, and I missed it, but one of the staff's sons is in a band. And apparently,
oh, really?
They rocked it out. Like, they were even talking about it Saturday night. Like, the Traveling Fates were talking about how good the show was Saturday night that they performed, that the band played on Friday night.
Oh, wow.
So I think
That's
they
awesome.
Were doing cover songs they're not a pagan band. I think they were mainly doing cover songs, but everyone said it was awesome.
Well, good. So,
you didn't get rained
down or blown away?
Just that one big storm, really. So, and there was a memorial set up to Bill Bill. For those of you that don't know who that was, he was a presenter at Puff for many years and just kind of a really cool guy to talk to. He had passed away this past year. So it was kind of, I kept expecting to see him walking around every time I turned my head or hear him talking.
Yeah.
So it was kind of weird him not being there.
Did his wife get to come this year?
Yes, I didn't get a chance to talk to her, but she was there, and she actually posted on Facebook saying that she appreciated everybody's kind words and that it was weird being there without him, but she was there. She did not have her booth set up this year. If you've ever been to Pagan Unity Festival, she's the one that does the hand-woven basket. But she was not set up this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't blame her. I mean, she had a lot going on.
Yeah. But guess what next year's theme is?
What's
right
next year's
you have to go. You can't miss it. Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Ooh. I just heard Ulf in the background go ooh too. So okay. we're going to Puff next year.
I'd like to. We've missed it the last 2 years. We're sorry. We love Puff. It's just been life.
Yeah, so yeah, unfortunately, life may hit me next year. So I fortunately applied for a graduate program. So everyone give me good energy that I'll get accepted. But I've applied for a graduate program, and if I'm accepted, I'm probably not going to be at Puff next year.
Do you want to share about this graduate program?
It's a graduate program in mental health counseling. So there are a lot of people even within the pagan. Part of the reason I want to do this is because there's a lot of people even within the pagan community that won't go to a therapist because so many therapy programs are either religion based, or for example, in the BDSM community, a lot of people don't want to go to therapy, even though they may need it, because they don't want to be judged for their lifestyle choices. Another reason is that ADD. There's really nothing out there in at least our area of the country for adults with ADD. It's all geared towards children and adolescents. So those are some things I want to be able to address and get a mental health counseling degree. So, everybody wish me luck. So, yeah, 2 weeks ago, wasn't planning it. It just kind of happened and everything fell into place. So, I take my GRE next week. That's how quick everything fell into place. I haven't even taken it yet.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, wish me luck on the GRE, too. I can use all the help I can get.
You'll knock you out of the park. You always do.
Yeah, except for the fact that I've discovered if you don't use math, you kind of lose it. And I used to be really good at math, and now I'm not. So that's what's going on in Marilyn's world. So now you've had something interesting happen.
Okay.
You had a test done.
Oh, are we talking about So recently I had my DNA run. And the results came back rather interesting. Stuff I did not expect. It came back saying that I am 61% British, 21% Irish, Scottish, Welsh, which is more from the same island. I have 4% Eastern European Jew, 1% from Finland. And
wait, did you just say Eastern European Jew?
4%, yeah. From 8% from Spain, Iberian Peninsula.
So what about it did you not expect?
Well, to be honest, I didn't expect all the British. Like, you know, if you do the math.
So what did you expect?
I really didn't know what to expect. But there were some things I'm like, you know, my skin is pale, but my hair and my eye color is really, really dark. So I was just like, huh. You know, and there were some things in there. The other thing that's really, really interesting that I found out, that I find really amazing, is that apparently the migration pattern, and for those of you who don't know, I'm adopted, okay? So that this is part of this. The migration pattern that my biological ancestors followed is the same migration pattern that my adopted family followed.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
You all could still be related by blood, even though it's your adopted family.
It gets better. I have found first cousins online. I have been talking to them. I have found some second cousins. I have a multitude of people who are actually willing to help me find relatives and who are willing to find out with the DNA search. And then I started looking at my matches. Yeah, I'm starting to think that I was raised by distant cousins. Because there's a lot of people with my dad's last name in my DNA matches.
Oh, wow. So here's a question, and I hope I'm not ruining it if he was going to bring that. Did Alf have one done?
No.
Not yet.
Not
yet. I want to, but to be honest, folks, those things are a little expensive. We caught them on sale for a holiday thing for Raven. It was more important for her, so she went ahead and did hers first. I hope to do one in the future because I don't know half my family lineage either because I never knew my father. So it's real important for me, not just for genetic reasons but for medical reasons. And it's something I hope to have done in the very near future. And if I do, I will probably share my results with our audience as well.
So Ravenfire, did they give you any medical information? Not that you have to go into it. I'm just curious.
No, they didn't. But some of the people who have been, like, so amazingly kind to me, like, have said that, you know, if you get your raw DNA data, there's a few programs that you can find that you can get that, like, are really inexpensive. Like, one's like $12. That will, you know, you upload your raw DNA data and it analyzes it and it will actually give you health stuff.
Now, and just to kind of let everyone know, I have heard that if you have any American Indian ancestry, it may not show up. Apparently, they haven't mapped enough of that DNA or something.
They haven't mapped enough of the genome, I guess. Well, I mean, it hasn't shown up in mine. Because
there's been people that have been almost like full-blooded, like half-blooded, American Indian and it's not showing up. From what I understand, they're only testing a small portion of your DNA, and not everything's always going to show up in that small portion that they test. And that a lot of the American Indian DNA isn't showing up.
Well, and it also depends on which company you go through. It depends on which company you go through as far as who you test with, too, because different companies look at different things. And, like, some of this, I was using this website called DNAadoption.com because it's kind of to help adoptees find their biological family. And, like, they I'm kind of following their steps because they say the first thing you want to do is test your ancestry. And then after you test their ancestry, you want to take your raw DNA and several other different sites you need to upload it to. Then
can get your raw DNA.
Yeah, I can get my. I have my raw DNA file already.
Oh, cool.
Which is really helpful. And it only took me took 4 weeks total for the process. They were saying it would take 6 to 8 weeks to process it. Yeah, and it got back like really quick. I was amazed how fast it came back. But yeah, I went through Ancestry, and then it says, you know, when you go through Ancestry, it says Family Tree, MyHeritage, GEDCOM, those sites. If you get your raw data from Ancestry, you can upload it to them. The thing about 23andMe is they will only allow you to look at their database if you tested through them. So it's like, okay, you want to do as much as you can through Ancestry because it's cheaper than Family Tree. It is cheaper. And then from there, you want to do, after that, if you hit a brick wall, then you go through and test through 23andMe, and then you can take that raw data from there and add it to the same companies. It's a really interesting process. And I will say this, it's a lot to learn. It's really neat that there's a lot of people out there. You know, there's several people who are like, you know, listed as like second and third cousins, and they're saying, you know, they're like second and third cousins, and they're just like, hey, you know, I'm going to send you this program, or hey, I've got this information. You know, so it's really neat. It's really interesting. The results were not at all what I expected. I think it's because I'm surprised that I am so British. So I guess I'm more Saxon than anything, which, you know, is not a bad thing. Yeah. So it's a process. I haven't heard back from the person who's my first cousin yet, but, I mean, there's a lot of second cousins and third cousins who are just like, yes, we'll talk to you. I have, like, two other cousins who are just like, hey, you know, I looked at my tree compared to your DNA results, and you want to look at this last name, and I have like two other last names I need to like scroll down. So it's really neat. It's really neat.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And honestly, the trick is, you know, as expensive as it is, and it is expensive to do, what I would recommend for people, if you're actually really, really interested in having a DNA test done, watch Ancestry, because they tend to drop prices around the holidays. Like, I got mine on a Mother's Day special for, like, $60.
Oh, that's cool.
And then also another thing I do want to say out there for adoptees, there are two other sites out there. One is MyHeritage, which right now they don't have the funds to do it, but there for a while they were offering, and I didn't know about this until after I tested, they were offering free DNA tests for adoptees. And then there's another site called the Global Adopted Genome Project. And I think if you apply to them, they will do free DNA testing for you as well. And I didn't find out about these two groups until after I had all my DNA testing done.
That's neat. All right, so bunch of stuff going on with both of us.
Huh?
So there's a bunch of stuff just going on with both of us.
I know, right? Right?
So the next thing I want to talk about is Louisiana. Not really sure what's going on down there. I will say that the Wild Hunt, and please support them, it's wildhunt.org. You can go and donate. They're the only Philly pagan news source out there. There's some smaller ones, I guess, because there's one that you use, right, that's more heathen-oriented?
Gods and Radicals, but it's hit or miss, and a lot of the heathen stuff that I find comes through Facebook.
So, but please go out and support the Wild Hunt if you can. And they go on to talk about how the state of Louisiana is actually 14% above average for the percentage of Christians in the state. It's 84% Christian. And the reason they bring this,
I was going to say, I can kind of see that. And what's the reason they brought it up? Sorry.
So the reason they brought it up is apparently there's two things going on in Louisiana. One is that Webster Parish just settled a lawsuit with the ACLU over daily use of Christian prayer during morning announcements. The ACLU statement was the school district's created an environment so suffused with religious messages and proselytizing that students who didn't want to participate didn't feel free to do so. It says Kramer reports Christy Cole and her daughter Kaylee prompted the lawsuit after complaining not only about the morning prayers, but also about religious messages found in other sanctioned school activities. Virtually all school events, such as sports games, pep rallies, assemblies, and graduation ceremonies, included school-sponsored Christian prayer, religious messages, and or proselytizing. So they did settle the lawsuit and acknowledged that it had violated the Constitution on some accounts, but not all. The board admitted in their response document that a morning prayer was routinely held and that the students were permitted to offer voluntary prayers with teacher support, and both activities have stopped.
Good, so the activities have stopped.
Yeah. So now there is a Senate bill. This is the next thing. In April, State Senator Ryan Getty introduced Senate Bill 512, which permits for student-led prayer on school property before, during, and after school. It also permits for employee participation in student-led prayer should a student ask or the employee volunteer. The final bill, which was revised from the original to remove the need for parent consent, reads, upon the request of any public school student or students, the proper school authorities may permit students to gather for prayer in a classroom, auditorium, or other space that is not in use at any time before the school day begins when the school is open and the students are allowed on campus. At any time after the school day ends, provided that at least one student club or organization is meeting at that time or at any non-constructional time during the school day. So the school employee may be assigned to supervise the gathering if such supervision is also requested by the student or students, and the school employee volunteers to supervise the gathering. I will say that it doesn't specifically say a religion.
Yeah, but you know what they mean. I'm sure in one group I like when stuff like this goes down, i.e. the Church of Satan. I wonder what their thought is on this whole matter. They usually have very vocal responses. Because I know they started in Africa.
There is a May 7th letter to the legislature. Nicholas Norkowitz, Council for America United for the Separation of Church and State, wrote these bills encourage school employees to violate federal constitutional law that prohibits school employees from participating in prayer during the school day. If either bill were enacted, they would make students feel pressured to join their teachers' religious practices in order to feel welcome.
So
I guess the main issue is the teacher involvement, I guess, is that, because I know at least locally a lot of schools will allow it, they just don't allow teachers involvement, right?
Correct. I know some schools do have some, like, after-school stuff going on and some good news clubs and stuff like that, but, yeah, but that's usually students who choose to. They might have a teacher there, and the reason the teacher is there is basically because there has to be an adult present in the room, but they don't usually participate, so.
Right, like there's the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Yeah, I get, you know. See, my high school, I will admit, was very different in that there were no religious groups at all in our high school, period. They just kind of
I joined it just because it looked good on your... I joined it just because it looked good on my college application.
There's a lot of kids that do, actually.
Yeah, I would say probably a big chunk of the ones at my high school, it was because they just wanted it to look good on their application. And we really didn't do anything, honestly. So let's see what else is going on.
Well, and I mean, you know, like, the reason, like, getting back to this topic, the reason that this is important, I know the Church of Satan has got upset with all the good news clubs that were being put out through the Child Evangelism Fellowship and decided to have their own after-school program called After School Satan. And I actually, just to satisfy my own curiosity, actually looked at, like, the materials and stuff for After School Satan. And it's actually a pretty cool program. It actually talks about diversity and people allowed to be different. No two people are the same. And, you know, it talks about science and thinking for yourself and rationalism. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, this is stuff kids should learn. For yourself, thinking why you believe what you believe. You know, it encourages kids to think critically and embrace diversity. And I'm like, and that's a bad thing? How? So, I mean, it's really interesting contrast to what they teach these kids in these good news clubs, which is that they're a horrible sinner and they're going to the Christian version of hell.
Hi, folks. This is Ulf Hammerhart. I'm going to chime in for a minute. The big problem I see with this issue, I mean, it may seem small to some people, but you have to understand that it, on a larger scale, it really is a big deal because this is how you push kids away from Christianity, away from spirituality at all, because they begin to think that that's what religion is, that that's what spirituality is, pushing it, pushing what you believe onto other people. So you often get one of two responses. You either create zealots who mimic that behavior and go out and start pushing their behavior down other people's, their beliefs down other people's throats, or you create these kids, you create people who are on the other side of it who have such a negative view, not just of Christianity, but of religion as a whole, done with it all, and they don't want any kind of enlightenment through that. And, you know, to each their own choice if people choose not to believe in anything, but what you can do there is create not an atheist. You know, atheist is a valid choice. I'm not at all saying that's bad, but you can create a person who misses opportunities. They're so anti-religion of any sort that they may miss a chance to find their true path because these jackasses have knocked them off the path, basically. I don't know if that makes sense to a lot of people, but it is something I've seen. And this is also, you know, Christians want to cry and moan about how other people hate them and how there's all this negativity towards them, and that this is how that gets created. Christianity, I think, is a valid path, and I've known some very tolerant, very sweet, great, you know, Christians that are great people. But it's the ones like this where it gets forced on, especially on kids. This is why a lot of the hate towards Christians is because people then think all Christians are like this, that they're all pushy and demanding and all say my way or no way. And unfortunately, far too many of them are like that, partly because a lot of them were created by practices similar to this. But not all Christians are like this, and that's not what these kids are going to think. You know, they're peeing in their own Kool-Aid, so to speak. They're making things harder for themselves. Sorry, that's my two cents. I know I chime in occasionally, but there you go.
Samara?
Yes. I'm processing.
I think you did also.
Huh?
Stunned you a little.
Not so much stunned as it was a lot to take in at once. Okay.
it was. He just said sorry. He gets long winded.
No, it's okay. It's a Chasing Squirrels episode. We can go wherever. So, before we move on, did you want to say anything else about that?
I can't really think of anything else about that. I really hope that CLU and groups down there in Louisiana figure out a way to challenge it.
Okay. And then let's see. So, have you heard about, I'm sure you've heard about what's going on in Hawaii, right?
The volcanic eruptions?
Yes. So, have you heard about what people have started doing?
No, I have not.
So, apparently, they have started making offerings to Tutu Pele, or Madam Pele.
Really?
Yeah. It says the Hawaiian goddess Tutu Pele lives in or is the Kilauea volcano. She has become one of the most well-known goddesses in the modern world. Native Hawaiians know Tutu Pele by many names. The Native Hawaiians call Tutu Pele Pele Honome, Pele of the Sacred Land. They also call Pele Aihunu, and I don't speak Hawaiian, so I know I'm butchering all this, Pele the Eater of Land. When her flames devour the land, she is not necessarily nice, but she is a fierce protector of her children and her land. It says that she lives among Hawaiians and not just among people with Native Hawaiian ancestry. They report they have seen her in the form of a young maiden or that of an old crone, then she suddenly vanishes. The national park has made it illegal to pick her sacred plant, the Ohelo plant. People leave offerings for her at Kilauea's crater. These offerings consist of fruit, flowers, forest plants, berries, and vegetables. Since the recent increase in activity, residents have been leaving flowers and other offerings around their homes and in cracks to ask the goddess for forgiveness and protection.
Interesting. Yeah, people are making offerings to the volcano goddess. That's really cool.
I know a little bit about Pele. I've forgotten that volcano is the one that's supposed to be her home.
Kilauea, yeah.
Yeah, it says, according to story, Tutu Pele traveled from Tahiti to an already settled Hawaii. She moved from island to island before settling in. How do you say the volcano name?
Kilauea.
Kilauea. Okay, sorry, I was butchering that too. She replaced the prior god at Kilauea. Her movement from island to island follows modern scientific chronologies of how the islands formed.
Interesting.
Yes, so.
And I've heard that she's also a mother goddess and a fertility goddess in a way, because she kind of destroys everything, and then that rich volcanic soil then can grow new stuff in it.
So, yeah, it says that the current eruption activity has forced authorities to pump cold water into some of these geothermal pools to kill them, which are... They blame that her current visit on attempts to extract geothermal energy from her volcano, and they're pumping cold water into them to kill them. Others blame the many tourists who visit the island and make souvenirs out of pieces of the land, rock, soil, sand, and flour.
Interesting.
It says the latest visitation of Tetu Pele is providing witnesses around the globe with a vivid understanding of the intertwining of nature's destruction and creation. At the same time, it is also providing witness to the island's still-living indigenous spiritual tradition and how it thrives in the island's modern culture. Yeah, I saw pictures where people were placing them along the road and stuff on Facebook.
Oh, they were placing offerings along the road?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad to actually see such an indigenous practice has survived, too. Yeah. And not all the Hawaiian deities have survived, but Pele certainly, she certainly has. And, you know, it's nice to see the fact that she's still, you know, worshipped and offered to.
Yes, it is actually past time for us to take a break.
Yes, it is.
So, let me find a song. And there is also someone wanting to talk, and I'm not sure who it is, so I will go check. Sorry, it's probably someone I know, but I don't recognize the number because you know everything's saved under a name anymore. So I will see who that is on break, too. Let's see. I'm going to play. Sentinel Grove. And let's play. Okay. Since Beltane just happened not too long ago, let's play Beltane's Fires.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Roar, roar. Roar, roar. Roar. Roar, roar, Beltane fire. Roar, roar,
day. Prepare the fire to jump and pray. Roar, roar.
All right, and we are back, and I'm sorry, the board froze up on me momentarily. So, Ravenfire, did you make it back?
I did.
Yay. So, I did want to say that Lady Vanessa is actually on the other line. She's listening in. She just wanted to say hi. But she also recorded how big of, she also wanted to let us know how big of a thing that the goddess is, that there is a story actually on CNN about her.
Okay.
So I thought that was pretty cool. So if you want to read more about it, go to CNN and check out the story they have on her.
Really?
So, So before we go on to anything else, was there anything in heathen news that I didn't know, that I don't know about yet?
Not as of right now. I know Trothmoot's coming up, but that's kind of about the extent of what I know, because I've been kind of in my own little work bubble.
Hey, well, did you hear about the new exhibit at the Norway Pavilion in Epcot Disney World?
No, I did not. What exhibit are we talking about here?
It's called Gods and Vikings.
Ooh.
So it says in the new Gods and Vikings exhibit in Norway Pavilion at Epcot and Disney World, it was the slightly larger than life bust of Thor, especially the Norse god's hammer Mjolnir, that was getting the most photo op attention during the visit by the Wild Hunt. People young and old speaking numerous foreign languages clutched the imposing 18-inch Mjolnir as friends or family took photos, perhaps an indication of how the Marvel comic movie franchise has made Thor a rock star beyond the community of practicing heathens and followers of Ostichur. It says that 5 feet from the bust was another Mjolnir, one less than an inch and a half long, an authentic Thor's hammer pendant made circa 800 to 1000 AD. The artifact is on loan to the exhibit from the Norwegian University of Science and Technology.
Oh, neat. Because I know we went to the... Because I know a while back we went to Cincinnati and they had a big Vikings exhibit there. So that's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, it says, while it may be Asgard 101 to heathens, it is such genuine millennium-old artifacts, a sword, a spear, a drinking horn, and more, that make the exhibit a respectful, scholarly-based, educational, and enlightening display for the uninitiated or the curious.
I know, I really do, because we're talking about going, and I hope it's still there.
Yeah, it says the exhibit is housed in an old world-looking building known as Stave Church Gallery in a space about 10,000 times smaller than Valhalla. That is, in a space only slightly larger than the living room of an average American home. So it's not exactly an imposing venue to house tributes to three gods and a goddess, but the exhibit makes judicious use of its space.
Neat.
Thank you, Samara. That is information I definitely like. I hope it's there when we go to Disney and like it.
So it says the text panel near the Thor entrance sets the exhibit tone, which is the myths and deceptions of the gods and goddesses in this exhibit are inspired by two ancient Norse texts, the Poetic Edda and how do you say this, Snorra Edda?
Snorri's Edda.
S-N-O-R-R-A?
Yeah.
Okay. The Poetic Edda contains over a dozen poems that feature the gods and dwarves. Scholars believe these poems were chanted and performed virtually unchanged for hundreds of years before being written down. So the Poetic Edda is our only original source of information about the belief of the Vikings. And how do you say the other one again?
Snorri.
Snorri. Okay, the Snorri Edda was written by an Icelandic scholar in the 13th century named Snorri Sturluson, who wanted to revive Viking Age poetry. And then it says, editor's note, both Snorri and it says Snorra and Snorri are correct historical usage. It was frowned upon by medieval monks and clerics that managed to survive in Iceland. Snorri explains many of the mythical references in the poetry, greatly expanding our understanding of Viking mythology.
Oh, yeah.
So, and there's pictures. If you want to see what some of the display looks like, go to wildhunt.org. And they have an article with pictures. It has a bust of Loki at the Gods of the Vikings exhibit. It's not what I imagined Loki to look like. I guess, I think Tom Hiddleston's kind of put himself, you know, emblazoned himself in my brain here lately.
He's ruined it for a lot of people.
Yeah, hang on.
Tom Hiddleston has definitely influenced people's look, outlook of Loki, which I'm sure Loki is probably appreciative of because Tom Hiddleston's a pretty guy, to be honest, and most of the depictions of Loki aren't. Loki's usually depicted as kind of small by Norse standards, thin, usually kind of hawk-nosed and kind of beady-eyed, for lack of a better way to put it, and usually very, like, that very overly angular face to a point. You know, so angular that some of his features, like his chin, sort of seem to come to points. So, yeah, the addition of Tom Hiddleston, because like you said, that's probably how a lot of people visualize Loki now. I think Loki's appreciative of that. Like, oh, maybe people will start, you know, making idols of him that are prettier. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. You know, our belief is shaped by many things, and you know, on a metaphysical level, you could say that if enough people think that's what Loki looks like, that's what Loki will start to look like. So, again, my two cents.
This is one entire side of the gallery features a life-size sphere figure sitting against the painted backdrop of craggy snow-covered mountains overlooking a ford. The exhibit's creators likely wanted visitors to imagine it is she who's reciting those recorded myths. So apparently they have a recorded myth. And it says she's accompanied by an authentic Broa picture, B-R-O-A, picture stone dating 700 to 800 AD and on loan from the Gotland Museum of Visby, Sweden.
Cool. That is very,
now,
very
now
cool.
I want to go to Florida even more. And we had a friend that just moved down there.
I know, right? Although I think he's fairly far away from Orlando. I think he's several hours away.
Is it worth it? About 4 folks.
You can still
you
do
and
a,
your
a day trip several
far.
Hours.
What? They have 1 pole folks down there. I grew up on it as a child. It's a nostalgia thing. We visit her, I'm eating her.
Oh, I guess you saw the pictures they posted of Po Folks.
Yeah, and I talked to them a little bit. They said the food quality's still really good, too. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm a fan. What do you want? My new lifestyle has me changing my diet and losing some weight, but I'm always going to be a fat man at heart.
Yeah.
Sorry, sidetracked.
Squirrel.
That's why it's called Chasing Squirrels.
And I think part of it is that Ulf and I are a bit hungry.
That may be influencing.
Night shifters.
One last story. Sorry, one last story I wanted to bring up. In Hamilton, Ontario, a celebration in honor of Sarah A. Colley, a patron saint of Romani people, will be held at Willow Core Cove Pavilion in Confederation Park, located in Hamilton, Ontario. And, of course, this was published on May 17th, so, it's being held in 2 days, so May 26th. The event is the vision of organizer John Corbett, who I'm butchering names left and right. Hakulaik, he instigated this celebration of the saint after attending a retreat at Brushwood. She came to me during a ritual. The feeling of security and passion were overwhelming, and I made an oath to fashion her effigy, align her current to where I lived, and have a one-time celebration to welcome her to the sacred geography of Hamilton. Because that one-time celebration, in quotes, was in 2014, and this year makes the fifth annual public celebration hosted by him and the Cali Sarah Hamilton Committee. Because Hamilton has a vibrant pagan community with many traditions and paths present, and he's an active participant in this event and enjoys the support of people from many backgrounds.
Neat.
So that's cool.
We actually know somebody who's traveler blooded. He may want to know about that.
I should probably send this link to him.
I like the
first.
Huh? You should what?
So I should probably send that link to that person, shouldn't I?
If you have his contact info, yeah, I'd highly recommend it. He couldn't get to it, I'm sure, but I'm sure he'd like to know that it's going on.
We're talking about a fellow Haunt cast member, right?
Yes.
Yep. Thinking of the same person, I'm sure.
Okay, I will post it for that person.
Sometimes people call him the G word, and you don't want to be around when that happens. People of Romani descent or travelers, as they also call themselves, do not like being called gypsies. It's actually a derogative term. A lot of people don't know that, but it is basically a racist, slanderous term because they used to, in a lot of cultures, a lot of people would say they would gyp them. I'm sure we've all heard, I didn't get what I was supposed to there. I got gypped. Well, those two terms are linked, and it's derogative to call somebody a gypsy is a bad idea, unless you want to get them angry. You don't want to see an angry traveler. Trust me.
No, you don't want to. I know the one you're talking about in particular.
Yeah, the one in particular actually has made a career of being a strong man. I've seen the guy pull a semi truck with his neck. You don't want to make him mad.
But he will school you. He'll give you the benefit of the doubt first.
Yeah, but if you keep. Yeah, he'll give you a benefit that maybe you don't know, and he will have, give knowledge to people about it. But if you keep being a jerk, it's at your own risk. He's learned to control his temper a lot better as he's gotten older, but this actually is something near and dear to his heart. We all thought it was a fad when he first found it because he had bounced back and forth through a lot of religions, but he really actually found some heritage here and some people who were related to him. He found a family. And it's a lot like heathenism in that the culture and the spirituality that goes with that culture are very linked, very connected. So he found that, and that's his home, and he takes it very seriously and personally. So, and there aren't a lot of stuff. You don't find a lot of stuff going on in pagan circles or otherwise related to the Romani and the traveler people. So I definitely think that's something he should be made aware of, just so he knows what's going on. He does do a lot of, he travels a lot. He really does live up to that part of his people. So going, where was it this is happening again, Samara?
Hamilton, Ontario.
Ontario?
Okay, so yeah, going to Canada would not be a big deal for him.
sorry that launched into a tangent again, but maybe, you know, maybe the information about Romani enlightened some of our listeners a little bit, because it's stuff I really, some of it is stuff I didn't know until he found this path, and he and I have discussed some things here and there.
Oh.
I mean, a lot of people think that I made up
for...
Sorry.
It's okay. Actually, we should probably have him on sometime.
We really should.
Yeah, we tried to have him on one of our shows, me and Foley, before life took our show from us temporarily. We'll be back eventually, I promise. We tried to have him on one of our shows, and his life schedule just would not permit. But if you can get him far, if you can plan it with him far enough out, it can probably happen.
Yeah, because it would be interesting to get the Romani, you know, I mean, it's not just a religion. It's like a complete lifestyle. So it would be interesting to get the whole, to get someone on.
They're very linked. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't even know that. A lot of people don't realize that there is a spirituality attached to that culture and lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, and it's a very old, very rich one. Like,
but it is at the end of the show, so I wanted to. Was there anything else y'all wanted to say before I go on to the current events?
I don't have anything else to say that I can think of. No.
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Well, let's see if Facebook is working, because last week it only went 2 weeks out when I was, or not last week, but a couple weeks ago it only went like 2 weeks out when I was trying to do the event. So this weekend is May Moon Magic in Cosby, Tennessee. It is the 24th through the 28th. I'm sorry. Karen Ered, I'm probably saying it wrong. I should have asked someone at Puff how to say it, because there's people attending it also this weekend that were at Puff. And they're doing it, says, come to the Valley of the Dragons, and they're celebrating the May Moon Magic in beautiful East Tennessee. This year's theme is The Blessing, and Tuathadea and S.J. Tucker will be there. And then let's see what else is going on. Eighth Annual Interfaith Dinner, Iftar Dinner, One Voice, One Human Race, will be at the Second Presbyterian Church in Louisville, Kentucky on Brownsboro Road. It is, tickets for this event are sold on Eventbrite and sales end on June 5th. It's June 5th, 8 to 10 p.m. So if you're interested in that, check out Interfaith Path to Peace on Facebook, and I'm sure you can find their event. And then let's see, I also have Ginger Doss and Linda Millard are having a house concert, so I'm just going to shut up there, because if that's someone's house, I'm not sharing the address. Sorry. Magic and Mysticism at the Mid-Michigan Renaissance Festival. That sounds interesting. June 23rd through the 24th, Mid-Michigan Renaissance Festival in Vassar, Michigan. So it's 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. those days. I want to go. And then we also have... Let's see. Oh, Starwood Festival is coming up starting Tuesday, July 10th through the 16th at Wisteria Event Site and Campground in Pomeroy, Ohio. Tickets are $135 for adults, $50 for children 6 to 17. And more information at starwoodfestival.com. Also, Mystic South Conference, Thursday, July 12th. Through the 15th in Crown Plaza, Atlanta Perimeter at Ravinia in Atlanta, Georgia. So I heard nothing but good stuff about last year, even with the air conditioning and water going out. If you have to compete with that and people still come away with good things about your festival, you know it was a success.
Yeah, they're so good.
Oh, positive. Absolutely.
Let's see. July 13th through the 15th, Midian's 2018 SID Southern Indiana Jordan Heathen event at Midian Festival and Events in Springville, Indiana. Tickets at asteriabooks.com. Then we also have I'm going to say one more event that's going on that weekend, and I'm going to call it for the night. Saturday, July 14th is the 7th Annual Witch Fest USA, a pagan street fair, and that will be in New York, New York. July 14th, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. July 15th. So it is a pagan street fair, Astor Place, and Hell's Kitchen Market, toasted by Reverend Star and Ravenhawk, Reverend Luna Roja, and Reverend Hiktuba Hesia. I'm probably butchering their names. I was getting ready, trying to find some of the VIPs that were going to be there. Let's see, they are going to have Sharon Day. I'm just saying names I know. There's a lot more names on here, but these are just names I recognize. Star Ravenhawk, Reverend Don Lewis, Christopher Penzack, Lady Ray, and Metamorph Duo, Margot Day and Curtis Knight.
Okay.
So that is also going on that weekend. Also, I just wanted to put out there, I am from New Albany, Indiana, which has the oldest ever high school radio station in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And this weekend, they are doing a radiothon. What would you call it? A marathon. They're having a radio marathon this weekend at WNAS. That's the name of the station. And what they are wanting to do is, and just to let you know, it started up in 1949. It's a student run, and their students are going to be on the air for 34 plus hours around the clock starting after school Friday. And through around 1 a.m. in the morning, early Sunday. Mm-hmm. So their goal this year is to have song requests come in from all 50 states, which they accomplished last year. In as many different nations, they heard from 6 foreign countries last May. You can call in requests at 812-542-4702 or shoot them a text at 812-565-9627. They're going to have giant maps of the U.S. and the world and push pin every location they hear from to show the students exactly what our potential reach is. So locally, they can be heard on 88.1 FM. By the way, this is New Albany, Indiana, right next to Louisville, Kentucky. Online, you can go to WNAS.org and click on the WNAS on-air link. If you have a smartphone, you can download the free TuneIn app and search WNAS to find their station. And we even have folks call in at 641-793-0160 and listen to it over the phone line. So, you can do all that.
Yeah, I mean,
send in your request.
I was going to say, that's a station I listen to quite a bit, actually. It's a pretty good station. They play a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it says they play 60s to 90s.
Yeah. As Ulf just said, it's the only station that you could listen to Elvis, followed up by Twisted Sister, followed up by Nina Simone. And you know it's true, Samara.
Yes, it is.
Which is one of the reasons why a lot of people around here really like the station, because it's just like they'll play anything.
So you can call in and tell them where you're from and get a request in. And if you need any information from me, just send us a message at our Facebook page at Tree of Life. It's at facebook.com/Tree of Life, LOUKY. Or you can look me up on Facebook, Samara, SYMARA, Luna, LUNA. And I will shoot you all the information. So that's starting tomorrow after they get out, after school's over. So I guess it's time to end the show now. So we will not be talking to you live next week. I am going to play the show for from Puff that I recorded, the workshop, so everyone can find out what it's like to attend a workshop at Puff.
We miss Puff.
So tell me, or I'm guess tell everyone that you miss them and have a great night then.
I miss everyone. Y'all have a great night. Y'all be safe out there.
All right, and everyone have a blessed evening, and I'm going to take us out, and this is for all. It's a song by Ted Sharmoon, and it's called Loki Loves You.
Nice. I approve.
Not sure what you're looking for. Mirrored glass upon the floor. Your heart runs cold against the night and leaves you with naught but a fright. Around a broken mirror drifts a figure golden green. But once you see those eyes of picture, you're sure to see that Loki loves you. Loki loves you. Brightest and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.